הנה טובו מעניי, שבת אחים גם יחד. הנה מה טוב, הנה מה טוב, לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
I tell you what, I've been thinking lately a lot about my very close friends of blessed memory, Phil and Sheila Klein. I sure loved them. I sure loved them, and I miss them dearly. They're both in Shemaim. They're both in heaven. And because of my schedule, which is just like wall to wall, I rarely get the opportunity to go to members' homes. I get a lot of times members invite me, oh, come to my home for dinner. It's like, my gosh, I appreciate that so much. I just don't get, we have so many people and in my schedule and stuff, but I sure appreciate people's heart. But I've known the Klein since the 80s, okay? And that's a long time. Right. And especially since that was obviously before I was even born, technically. No, I'm just kidding. And so back in the old Nagila days, I would often be at their home. And I have to say that one of the things that I loved about the Kleins is that when you went to their home, you were like family. Now, of course, that related to me, I was essentially almost family with them, really. We consider ourselves very much mishpacha. But it wasn't just me. They made other people feel like family. You know the kind of people I'm talking about. It's just they had something about them that made you feel warm and welcomed and like family. It was unreal how welcomed each and every person was made to feel at their home, or just really even in their presence. They made you feel like your presence there was not an inconvenience, but it was a blessing, right? You know the kind of people, even if you didn't know the Kleins, you know the kind of people I'm talking about, the people who have that heart that's just a little bit different. It really makes an impression. It really does. They clearly loved their mishpacha, no doubt about it. And it's not just them. They're just illustrative. There are a number of other people and families in the congregation who seem to have this gift. You know what I'm talking about, that there's something that they have that when you're around them, you just feel warm on the inside and you feel like they care about you and that you feel like they're happy that you're there. John, 3rd John, so we're talking about the small books. 3rd John chapter 1, please. 3rd John chapter 1. Very interesting. Let's see something in the scripture that really rings true. And this is something that I think that can be very instructive to us, to teach us. Today's message is one that is a message that I want you to make you think about things just a little bit and think about how you can maybe just tweak something a little bit in your heart. It's not a complete and total 180. It is a tweak I want you to think about. Let's start in verse 1. The elder, to Gaius, the loved one, whom I love in truth. Okay, this letter is to Gaius. Okay, let's skip down to verse 5. So this is who this letter is to, him and this and the other congregants with him. Loved ones, you're acting faithfully in whatever you do for the brethren and especially for strangers. They have testified to your love before Messiah's community. you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For on behalf of the name they went out, accepting nothing from the pagans. Therefore, we ought to support such people so we might become co-workers in the truth. Okay, what does that mean? What is that saying? Let's kind of dig into that and unpack it just a little bit here. Here, what do we see? We hear Yohanan, John, he is lauding Gaius and his people for being kind and hospitable to other people. It says here, loved ones, verse 5, you're acting faithfully in whatever you do for the brethren, and especially for strangers. The text here says strangers, but we know that in the Greek, it's specifically speaking of other believers. So Gaius was helping. He was helping, enabling, and being hospitable to others who were also in Messiah's community. People who were other believers, but were not like really close to them. Comparative strangers. They loved the Lord, but it's not like they knew them well. And yet there was something about Gaius that he was doing, reaching out to these people in such a special way that it got noted by John. Very interesting. Verse 8 in other translations specifically says that we ought to be hospitable to such people. So what John is saying here is that, guys, man, guys, you and your folks, they've been so warm and so welcoming and so helpful to other people in the community, even strangers in the community. And then he goes on to give us an exhortation using guys as an example and says in verse 8, therefore, we ought to support such people so we might become co-workers in the truth. Other translations say that we ought to be hospitable to such people. For in doing so, we become co-laborers with them in the truth. So what John is teaching us here, y'all, is that we have to do what Gaius has done. Gaius has reached out beyond what might be expected by somebody, because you'd expect maybe to be hospitable to a literal family member. But these were not only not literal family members, they were believers, but not even that they knew well. They were comparative strangers. And yet Gaius warmly helped them, brought them in. And so John is saying, listen, you need to be doing this. We all need to be doing this. This is part of the command of one of these, one of Yeshua's wonderful apostles here. We need to be doing this in our own lives. We need to be showing hospitality to other people. Particularly in this case, it's talking about those who are in the community of faith. This is something that should be part of who we are. Is it a part of who you are? This is just something to think about. A lot of times what I see happen, if I can just be really honest with you, is that sometimes people sit there and this is how they'll act. They essentially act as though, okay, well, I'm here, and boy, when I need something, I really would like for people to kind of be nice to me or pray for me or rally around me. Okay, that's great, and that's fine, and that's good. But when other people are in that situation, do you go rally around them? And this is what John is saying, is that, okay, listen, there's nothing wrong. But oftentimes what you see, sometimes at least in the body, is that people, they get into a little situation or they come upon a hard time, and then they say, no one is reaching out to me. No one's reaching out to me. I get that. Have you been reaching out to others? You find if you reach out to others, people will reach back to you. This is part of the command. Listen, all of us should be reaching out. This is the point that is being made here with Gaius as an example. The Greek word here means literally to bear up others. This is what we should be doing. This is what hospitality really is all about, being hospitable, doing whatever we can, acting faithfully for the brethren and especially for strangers, bearing them up. You see, there's a spiritual principle here that goes kind of deep, honestly, about what we're doing when we reach out to other people to help them, to bless them, to be warm to them, to be kind to them, to be caring to them, to be hospitable to them. What we are doing, the scripture says, is bearing them up. Friends, we all sometimes need other people to help bear us up because life is not always easy. Hello, hello, hello. Life is sometimes very hard. But if we can, as part of our call, as part of who we are, as part of our spiritual DNA, if we are built different in such a way that we seek to bear other people up, then we're fulfilling part of our calling as followers of Him who bore us up. Amen. I love that Gaius was known for this. It's interesting because I'd not really studied about Gaius that much. And so I started studying Gaius. It's like, okay, it's interesting. Gaius is in a few times in the New Covenant. But interestingly, there's actually a few different men in the New Covenant named Gaius. A few different guys. And what was interesting to me, and I found this, it was like, wow, this is interesting. You don't have to turn to it, but in Romans 16:23, it mentions another Gaius and how he was hospitable to the whole community. That's what it says. At first, I thought, oh, it's got to be the same guy because it's talking about how he's hospitable to the community of believers. I thought, same guy. No, 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 it's a different guy. It's a different Gaius. But yet both of them are hospitable and gotten noted and made mention of in the word because of this. It was so significant. Interestingly, the name Gaius means happy or a person who rejoices. Isn't that interesting? So interesting, Jack, that's what his name means. And wow, there's something correlative with that. When we have joy in our hearts, we tend to spread it to others. If I could put it this way, it sounds to me to a certain extent like joy is a little bit contagious. There is something beautiful, y'all. There is something redemptive about bearing each other up. There is something powerful about having a heart of hospitality. It's not trite and it's not minor. It's not insignificant. It's not a side issue. Romans chapter 12, you can turn to me. Romans chapter 12 is most famous. If you're a believer, you're familiar with the beginning of Romans chapter 12, where it charges us as believers to offer up ourselves as living sacrifices for the service of the Lord. You're familiar with that if you've been following the Lord for some time. Beginning of Romans chapter 12, offer yourselves up as a living sacrifice to God. It's your reasonable service. So it's valid. It's important. And so we want to do that, right? We aspire to live as a living sacrifice to God. Great. That's good. Wonderful. Me too. I'm with you. That is what we should be aspiring to do. But what does that look like? I mean, it's okay to theoretically say to live as a living sacrifice, but what exactly does that look like? Well, actually, if you read Romans chapter 12, the whole rest of the chapter basically goes into the details of what that looks like. So in essence, this is what we should aspire to as believers. This is what it means to be a living sacrifice. The whole really rest of the chapter means to be a living sacrifice and what we should be looking to do. Let's skip down to verse 11. and we'll read something that is part of what it means to be a living sacrifice. Verse 11, do not be lagging in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Keep serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, enduring in distress, persisting in prayer, contributing to the needs of the Kedushim, the holy ones, extending hospitality. That's great, isn't it? I love that. It's just fantastic because, you know, if I tell you, yeah, be fervent in the spirit, persist in prayer, you'd say, yes, 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 very deep spiritual things and attributes that we could have in our lives. Extend hospitality. It's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. What? Does that really belong with those big ones? I didn't write it. Talk to the author. Apparently, it's somewhat important. Rabbi Scholl had just been discussing in the previous verses how each person has their own giftings in the body. So he had just been talking in the middle of chapter 12 about how everybody's got a different gift and different giftings. And we need in the body everybody with their different giftings in order to make it work. Then he goes on to tell us that part of living, being a living sacrifice, is to extend hospitality. So some people refer to this as the gift of hospitality. Listen, whether it's defined specifically as a gift or simply as a command, either way, we should all take this to heart. And when I say take this to heart, I literally mean that all of us should seek to have more of a heart of hospitality. If you think about it, by nature, the word, and if you're going to be hospitable to people, you have to be more selfless. Because showing hospitality to others is not esteeming and looking out for yourself first. You're caring for other people. You're being hospitable to others. Make sure, beloved, that we don't have too much of a focus on the three big people, me, myself, and I. We can't be so focused on me, myself, and I, and what my needs are, or what I think and what I want. You know, listen, be hospitable. That is reaching out and what others need and want, bearing others up. And listen, some of you are thinking to yourselves, wow, Rabbi Kevin, yeah, I mean, I hear you. I mean, I do know people like that. I mean, they're people who have that gifting. Okay, no question, but well, you know, I'm not as naturally gifted in that area. But people think of hospitality as being solely inviting people into their homes. But it's more than this and can look different than this. This is why I'm giving you some food for thought to eat on, all right, to think about how this can look in your life. See, some people are level 9 hospitable. Okay, I get that. And most people are not level 9. But whatever level you're at, some people are level 1 hospitable. Okay, whatever level you're at, there's room for you to become more hospitable. Right? It's more than just inviting people into your homes. It can look different than this. It's being warm and it's being welcoming. And you don't have to be in your home to make people feel this way. You can be, wait for it, hospitable here at Beth Hillel. You can be hospitable right here with people who walk in these doors. You can be hospitable at work, even. You can be hospitable to other people with your time. See, it doesn't always have to be, oh, please come into our home. Here, I have some nice hors d'oeuvres, and wow, look at the house. You know, I prepared it all for you, and I vacuumed four times in preparation for your coming, and please don't spill anything. It's not. Okay. That's it's hospitable. You know what I'm saying? In your home. But sometimes hospitality is at work. There's somebody who's hurting, and you've got a lot of things to do, and you're tired, and you want your lunch break, and you just want to maybe take a nap in the car during your lunch break, but you know somebody is hurting or needs something, or you know, it's just reach out. Hey, listen, you want to catch lunch? Let's go down to the restaurant and catch lunch. What do you say? Oh, with me? Yeah. Come on. Let's do it. That's being hospitable. You understand? It doesn't have to, there's no one size fits all for hospitality. Sometimes it's literally just taking extra time with someone. Even after service or at the grocery store, you know, somebody drops a jar of pickles on the floor and they're all worked up about it. Oh no, maybe it's somebody elderly, and maybe it's just stopping and saying, oh, it's okay. You know what? Let me help you clean that up. It's no problem. How are you? You know, my name is Kevin. It's nice to, don't worry about the pickles. You know, they're not kosher anymore. They're on the floor, but that's okay. If I could put it this way, ma'am, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. How sad that just came to me just now. That's really sad. I'm so sorry. Some of you are like, I do not need Rabbi's hospitality. That's clear. Right? So you can be hospitable with your time. You see what I'm saying? Taking time out for people, right? Remember, being hospitable means to bear up others. To bear up others. But however we do it, we need to seek to be more hospitable. Wherever you are on that continuum, we should seek to be more hospitable. Hebrews chapter 13, please. Hebrews 13, Bavakasha. As a side note, I'll say this. Being hospitable can periodically have other benefits as well. Camera people are like, where is he going? There can be other benefits to being hospitable. This is one of those wild things. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For in doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. That's cool, isn't it? That's like, you know, pom, 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 pom. What is that? There's something mystically cool to that. I can't wait to get to heaven and to see in virtual reality when it's replayed there how many times I've interacted with angels and didn't know it. I'm looking, Lord, I want to know, I want like the clip, like, you know, how YouTube you can flip through. I want the clips of each time I ran into an angel and didn't know about it. And I want to see, you know, how I did and whatever. I mean, I'm only actually aware of one angel that I have interacted with in my life. For many years, she's been my loving wife. Yeah, made some points on that one there. That's a... But seriously, my daughter's an angel too. She's really too. Okay, a son. He's a good guy. I love him. Okay. But seriously, you don't know when you're interacting with an angel. Isn't that interesting, Michael? You don't know when you're interacting with an angel. That's just wild, man. I mean, that's right there in the scripture, so it's true, Kaylee. You know, we don't know when we're acting. I kind of look at that as almost like God's secret shoppers. I remember, listen to this, Damien. I remember back when I was a kid and my family, you know, we had some good times, we had some tough times. And so this was a season where we really didn't have that much. And for whatever reason, I mean, I was a kid, I was a little kid. And for, I don't know how this happened. I don't know how my folks got into this. This is an obscure story that I've never told. But my family, my parents, somehow were selected to be secret shoppers at a restaurant. Okay. And so, and when I say secret shoppers, I mean once a week, they could go, our full family could go to this restaurant and would do a whole bunch of secret shopper evaluation. And at the end, once we filled out the full report, we'd send in the receipt and get reimbursed for the full meal from the company. And of course, it was a fine dining restaurant. It was called Captain D's. I can't make this stuff up, man. My family were secret shoppers for Captain D's. We're Jewish. We can't even eat half the stuff at the place. But I had like the chicken tenders every week. But it was still kind of fun because you went to the Captain D's. And I remember I was just a little kid and they were like, okay. My dad was like, okay, see if one of the things is, are all the outside lights on and all working? Are they all operative? So I'd be looking, are the lights working? You know, and check the bathroom, make sure that there is towels. Okay. And I would go in, you know, oh, they're towel, you know, whatever. I mean, I was part of the thing. You know, they had me do some of the stuff. And did they greet you? And did they smile? Did they have a name tag? Was the food hot? Was it served within this amount of time? I mean, man, the form was like so long. And this was back and it wasn't online. It was all manual. You know, it was like they were doing an SAT test every week, right? And we sent in the receipt. And it was, I know my folks were like, I know it's a lot, but we get a free meal at Captain D's every week, you know? And so, in any case, let's face it. If you knew that you were being shopped by a secret shopper, you'd be on your best. Right? If you knew that you were interacting with an angel, you'd likely act differently. That's very likely the truth. When I get to heaven and I watch a lot of this internet, I'm sure sometimes I'm going to cringe and going to be like, oh, wow, I really missed that one. And the angel probably was like, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. Missed that one. Yeah. Well, that's an angel. I've got one better than that. Matthew 25, please. Matthew 25. How would you act if you knew it was an angel? You'd act differently. I've got one better than that. Matthew chapter 25, verse 37. Yeshua speaking here. He says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And answering, the king will say to them, Amen, I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Wow. Yeah, see, friends, this should be our heart. Just straight up, this should be our heart as followers of Messiah. Our heart should not be one of judgmentalism or his disdain, not one whose heart is hardened. Beloved, the roots of the word hospitality and the root of the word hospital is the same. when we are hospitable to people, we're providing them care like a hospital. And friends, when you serve one another, you're serving Yeshua. And remember, it doesn't always have to look the same. Maybe you're not one to have people over to your home much. Maybe you're a bit more private or more introverted. Or maybe you're just very self-conscious as to how the place looks. That's okay, so long as you're actively reaching out beyond your fleshly comfort zone. So that might mean taking somebody to lunch at a restaurant. That might mean intentionally going up to somebody you don't know as well and starting a conversation. That might mean stopping whatever it is that you're doing and praying for somebody who's hurting. You see, that's a heart of hospitality. We know how God feels about this. You see it in both the Brit Chadashah and the Tanakh, 2 Kings chapter 4. The story is just absolutely amazing. Verse 8, one day when Elisha passed through Shunem, where there was a prominent woman who persuaded him to eat some food, and so it was, whenever he passed through, he would stop for a meal. She said to her husband, "Behold, I realize that this man who often passes through is a holy man of God. Please, let's make a little walled room off the roof, and let's put there a bed, a table, a chair, a lampstand for him. Then whenever he comes to us, he can stay there." Wow. Friends, Elisha was the real deal. The real deal. Man, you study Elisha. There's almost nobody in the totality of Scripture that's like Elisha. He's a little bit undersold relative to the absolute power in this guy. But the Shunammite woman had a heart of hospitality and wanted to bless the man of God. And Elisha was so touched by her saying, "Listen, he comes here often, he passes through. Let's make a little room up there on the roof just so he can have a little place to stay when he comes." Who does this? She knew he was a man of God. Elisha was so touched that he asked if he could do anything for her. He's like, "Man, that's ridiculous. Can I do something for you?" And if you follow the text, she essentially says, "No, thank you. I'm okay. Thank you." She was not doing this for gain. And so Elisha consulted with his assistant, Gehazi. And verse 14, 2 Kings 4:14. So he asked, "Then what should be done for her?" Then Gehazi answered, "Well, in fact, she has no son. And her husband is old. Call her," he said. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "At this season next year, you will be embracing a son." But she said, "No, my Lord, do not lie to your handmaid, man of God." Nevertheless, the woman conceived and bore a son during that season the following year, just as Elisha had told her. Friends, God values people being hospitable. God values people being hospitable. God values a heart that cares for others and reaches out. And if this story wasn't amazing enough in and of itself, the chapter continues to relay the story that years later, the son, who was at this time, by this time, a young man, died, sadly, but yet Elisha came back and resurrected him from the dead. For his mother. You think she was happy that she had been hospitable? Oh, you think God thought well that she had been hospitable to this man of God? Goodness. She had a child when she had been barren. And then when the child got older and died, he's in my head. And he died and... long time later, he came and resurrected him. Elisha. Whoa. Friends, we need to seek to be welcoming to others. And this goes for us even here at Beth Hillel. I know that we tend to have more curiosity visitors than most places. And I get that we both want and need to establish relationships within the congregation. I get that for sure. And that's important. That said, we need to be welcoming and show hospitality to visitors here and to make people feel welcomed. Amen? So what I'm asking for you to consider today is to be intentional when it comes to reaching out to others, getting a little bit out of your comfort zone, to seek to bear others up, to make an effort to look out for those who might need a hand or an encouraging word or an invitation to lunch. I'm really asking you to look at the condition of your own heart in this regard. Because you may be a good person, you may love the Lord deeply, but are you truly putting yourself out there to warmly make others feel cared for and welcomed? Let's conclude with John 14, please. John 14. Here's the other cool thing. I want to conclude with a point that this spirit of hospitality, this heart of hospitality, is part of the core nature of Messiah. It's part of the core nature of God. And we all say that we want to be more like Yeshua, right? Well, okay. What is he like in this regard? John chapter 14, verse 1. Yeshua says, "Do not let your heart be hardened. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be." Amen is right. At the core, there is no one more hospitable than Yeshua himself. Indeed, he seeks to bear us up. Let's follow his example. The title of my message is Heart of Hospitality. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua as your Messiah. If you've never given your life to God, how about today? If that's you and you've never said yes to Messiah, but you want to, raise your hand and we'll pray together. If you've never said that prayer, but you want to, maybe you're watching online and you've never given your life to God. If so, say the simple prayer. Say, "Dear God, I humble myself before you. I ask Yeshua to come into my heart. Believe he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, God." If you said that prayer for the first time, if you're online or podcast, please send us an email. We want to celebrate with you. If you're in this room, please see me after the service. We just want to rejoice. I want to thank you, God, for our congregation. God, I think in many ways we have so many hospitable people here. I think that our congregation is very hospitable. But Lord, I want us to be known for that all the more. I want for us to be welcoming, warm, and known as people who care about other people and who has a heart that reaches out to other people and has a heart that invites people in, a heart of hospitality. We know how you feel about that crystal clear. God, help us in our hearts in that area. Let us look for opportunities to be hospitable to others because, God, you command us to do so, and that makes us more like you. Thank you, Lord, for bearing us up. May we do so to others. Thank you, God, for all these things. We love you with all of our hearts. B'shem Yeshua. Amen and amen. He
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah or how you can become part of our Bethel El family, please visit our website at www.bethelel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.